Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, February 24th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis faces a massive challenge with vacant land and buildings. It's more than lost tax revenue. These pieces of property can actually end up costing the city thousands of dollars each.
What we haven't done a good job of is quantifying and collecting the cost of vacancy.
STLPR's Eric Schmid dug into the issue to find out how St. Louis is slowly beginning to account for and collect these costs. Hear that story coming up after this news on The Gateway. A teenage volleyball player who was hit by a car in downtown St. Louis and lost both of her legs has settled a lawsuit with the city for $450,000. Janae Edmondson was in St. Louis from Tennessee for a volleyball tournament in February of 2023 when a driver, high on drugs, sped through a yield sign at an intersection and hit her. She and her family sued the city of St. Louis, her attorneys arguing the city was negligent by installing a yield sign at a low-visibility intersection. Kevin Carney Jr. is an attorney for Simon Law, which represents Edmondson.
Janae's strong. She's resilient. She's tenacious. She's just incredible. And, you know, I know she's going to keep fighting. She's kept fighting through all this, and she just keeps improving herself. Really remarkable to watch.
He also says Edmondson's prosthetics and other medical expenses cost thousands of dollars and will require maintenance for the rest of her life. Carney says the family reluctantly agreed to settle for $67,000 less than the state's cap on damages to avoid the financial and emotional cost of taking the case to trial. The leader of the Missouri House says the chamber will focus this week on legislation related to Missouri families. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, that will not include legislation seeking to overturn Missouri's constitutional abortion rights.
House Speaker John Patterson said bills on child care, including tax credits and temporary licenses, will be considered in the House. However, a proposed amendment overturning Amendment 3 is not on the immediate schedule. Patterson said he anticipates the House taking it up this session. House Minority Leader Democrat Ashley Onney believes the reason why the House hasn't heard legislation yet is that Republicans aren't united on this front.
I'm guessing that there's a lot of consternation on their side about the actual details of the legislation that they put forth.
The House has already held a hearing on a proposed constitutional amendment that would overturn Amendment 3 if passed by voters. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's St. Louis-based Planned Parenthood Clinic is awaiting word from the state before offering abortions again. Officials with Planned Parenthood Great Rivers began the process of ramping up access to abortion after a Jackson County judge struck down licensing requirements. But they haven't started providing medication abortions because the State Department of Health and Senior Services hasn't approved a complication plan. Nick Dunn of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers says he's hoping the state will act swiftly.
It's a, you know, a standard plan that we submit to the state of Missouri just to let them know what our emergency plans are in case, you know, something happens with a patient.
Planned Parenthood clinics in the Kansas City and Columbia areas are also in the process of restarting abortions. The new leader of the Democratic National Committee says that Missouri Democrats can get out of their electoral funk. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum has more on Ken Martin's visit to the St. Louis area.
Martin spent Friday in St. Louis talking to Democratic activists and voters. It's part of his first national tour since he won a contested race to become Democratic National Committee chairman. While Republicans have dominated Missouri elections in recent years, Martin says the National Party plans to invest time and money to turn that around.
We're going to organize everywhere through the lens of when you organize everywhere, you can win anywhere.
Missouri Democrats are focusing next year on picking up seats in the State House and Senate, especially since some swing districts will have open races. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Development Corporation has awarded Annie Malone Children and Family Services a $1 million grant. The award is smaller than the $15 million Annie Malone originally applied for. It will go toward critical roof and building maintenance at its headquarters in North St. Louis. Annie Malone canceled its historic May Day parade earlier this month after failing to secure enough funding. SLDC has also allotted $10,000 to Annie Malone for the parade, which the organization says it is open to having if more donors step up to sponsor the event. The Ritner School District is getting its electric school buses. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports after weeks in limbo, the district can now access its federal funds.
In January, President Trump signed an executive order pausing funding from two major clean energy bills passed under Biden. That meant the Ritner School District couldn't pay for almost two dozen electric school buses it ordered. Now Superintendent Chris Kilbride says the account is accessible, and they were able to draw down the funds.
Just absolutely thrilled this has become a reality for Ritner kids.
Ritner received the buses through the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean School Bus Program. Its entire daily fleet will now be electric. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County's jail is now accepting credit card payments for bonds. STLPR's Chad Davis reports that county leaders say this is an important step forward and provides greater accessibility.
The new process started a couple weeks ago and allows people to go online and pay instead of having to go to Clayton. Department leaders say the new system will allow it to be more efficient and puts the jail in line with other jails across the country. Keto Bess is the St. Louis County Justice Services Director. He says this will help families who can't make it to the jail.
This was just one way that we felt that would be feasible for residents and for their families without their families having to drive all the way down to Clayton.
Bess says residents can still pay in person if they don't have a credit card. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis has nearly 25,000 vacant parcels of land, and about 10,000 of those include vacant buildings. That's according to the St. Louis Vacancy Collaborative. City leaders are getting more serious about the issue, with recent legislation to increase the fines on properties left vacant and coming up with better ways to collect that money. But STLPR's Eric Schmid reports it will take time to see these changes on the ground.
We're going to work through this story a little backward, starting at the end of the process, a tax sale on the steps of the civil courthouse downtown.
Opening bid to you, sir, is $9,150.
Dozens of people gather here on this mild fall morning to bid on properties that the city is auctioning off.
$10,000.
It's the result of lawsuits that St. Louis's collector of revenue filed months earlier, seeking to foreclose on properties whose owners haven't paid all of their city taxes. This kind of auction happens a few times a year, but this one is special because everything up for sale today is vacant.
15-5, going once, going twice, sold.
A few parcels sold this morning, and the rest that don't go into the city's land bank, where someone can buy one in the future and do something with it. This mechanism serves a few purposes, the biggest one being to recover what the city spends on upkeep of vacant properties. St. Louis has long had this ability, says Laura Ginn, a vacancy strategist with the city.
And just wasn't utilizing that authority in the past.
The only thing owners used to get billed for was demolition. But Ginn says that's grown to include the costs that come with other city code violations, too.
We're talking about a cost to apply board ups to openings, a lot of times repeatedly, a cost to provide mowing and weed eating, and sometimes demolition or stabilization work. Those are true costs that need to be recuperated.
And the city performs this work on all parcels in St. Louis, regardless of who owns them.
The city goes in and uses city tax dollars to do that.
Jared Boyd is Mayor Tashara Jones's chief of staff and says most of the city's vacant buildings have private owners.
What we haven't done a good job of is quantifying and collecting the cost of vacancy.
In 2024, the city reported more than $21 million in outstanding fees and fines related to vacancy. This month, St. Louis aldermen passed a few bills that add new fines for properties that are left vacant and open to entry and demolitions without a permit. They also approved an increase to the administrative penalty for violating building codes, and all of these can be tacked on to an owner's tax bill. It will take time for the city to even begin to recoup the millions of dollars it's owed. The earliest the new legislation could take effect is September, and the city has tens of thousands of vacant properties with debts. But it's important to start somewhere. Tarek Abdulazam is the Vice President of Technical Assistance for the National Nonprofit Center for Community Progress.
The cost of doing nothing are astronomical, and to make strategic investments with improved policy and then improved practices really is the best approach to turn the tide.
Abdulazam says there is a chance every tax dollar spent may not get recovered.
And if you can't get paid back, then at least take ownership and temporary stewardship of their property. Put that property to use that's consistent with the community's goals.
But Dale Sweet, a local attorney who specializes in the forced sale of real estate by the government to collect a tax bill, says this whole foreclosure process is not a perfect solution.
Well, this has always been a tax collection strategy, and it's difficult to use a tax collection strategy to also address problems with vacancy and abandonment and dilapidated property.
Again, the city vacancy strategist agrees.
We can get real excited about tools and jump into implementation. But what I've liked about the vacancy strategy work is that we're spending a lot of time making sure that software departments are connected and talking to each other.
Ginn says it helps the city prioritize where it needs to dedicate finite resources now to make the biggest dent in this huge challenge. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.